Baseball right around the corner. We're getting closer to the start of the 2024 Wenatchee Apple Sox baseball season as it begins on May 31st at home against the Port Angeles Lefties. I'm Joel Norman, joined by the head coach of the Apple Sox, Mitch Darlington, and this is one of our favorite things to do each year is to unveil the 2024 roster. And what better way to start it off, Mitch, than by talking about some returners? A nice group of guys. We've got some of these guys who are three-year players once they suit up this summer, and other guys will be back for a second summer and looking to leave their mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Just right off the bat, looking at some of these guys, and just one thing that sticks out is the amount of three-year returners that we have. It's just for summer baseball, you don't see guys that return for three summers, and for the amount of guys that we have who are going to be playing their third summer here in Wenatchee, it's special. It's a special group.
Let's address that first before we even dive into those guys. You know, when you get a guy to come back for a third season, and for pretty much all of these guys, all of them have been playing under you for those three seasons, or except for a couple guys who've had a year or two before you. But it says a lot about the commitment to the product and the program in a lot of ways for them.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, these guys enjoying their time here in Wenatchee and, in a way, feeling like we kind of have unfinished business. It does, in a sense, feel like an actual program. And, guys want to come back and they want to keep going farther and, keep leaving their mark here in Wenatchee. And we welcome it. All these guys are guys that help build our culture and kind of make us who we are, honestly. So excited about the group of guys we got coming in.
Let's start off with the first one, a guy who, people, if they've listened to this one, they probably heard the podcast before this when I had a chance to chat with him. Quincy Vassar coming back. Tell me about your excitement about him returning to play for the Apple Sox. That's a fan favorite these last couple of years. He started some big ball games for this team in the summers of 22 and 23.
Yeah, I feel like Quincy's the guy that just, kind of summarizes Apple Sox baseball. He's that local kid that grew up watching the Apple Sox and always has wanted to be a part of it. And now he's had his time these last couple summers to be a huge part of us and, coming back to put his mark on not only, the wins and the losses, but on the record book as well, as he's creeping in on a lot of career Apple Sox records. So he's going to be a guy I look back on, especially in my first two summers coaching this team, and just can't help but smile because of just the dedication and the commitment he has for the Apple Sox and his just love for it. He's always just the first guy season ends, just, hey coach, mark me down. I'm back no matter what. You haven't even offered the kid a contract yet, and he's just already telling you he's coming back. So, that, and he's always working his way into the coaching realm as well. Just, hey, when I'm done, I'll be a volunteer assistant out here. Right. If you need another pitching coach. So, It's going to be awesome to have him back for a third summer. I can say that.
I love that part. He's been saying that probably since 2022, saying, oh, I want to coach as soon as I'm done. Once I'm done with my baseball career, head right onto your staff as well with the Apple Sox. But you're right. His love of the Apple Sox is kind of infectious. And I think it's rubbed off on a lot of other guys who he's been teammates with. And I think it's a big reason, like we talked about, there's kind of been that core group of guys who come back year after year now, kind of in the last three seasons. He's a guy who, you mentioned, closing in on some records. I think the most important one is his strikeouts. 87 in two seasons with the Apple Sox. Not only is that at a pretty impressive mark in team history, where it's tied for third all time, it's also the most by any West Coast League pitcher in the last two seasons combined. So it says, I think to me, that's kind of a testament of him being able to take the ball on its day when he's ready to pitch and kind of go out and deliver some innings and some punch-outs along the way.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you see strikeout numbers like that and you think of some guy that has a really heavy fastball and just overpowering stuff. But, Quincy's just crafty, man. He locates pretty well and, his off speed is kind of filthy and just locates and works the zone. And it's amazing, really, when I start looking into some of those stats and seeing that he's that high up on the list, it's almost like quiet strikeouts. You just don't think about it, but he racks them up. So, not only that, but he's been a starter for us the last couple of years. He's a guy you just can kind of bank on just having in your rotation, and he's gonna go and he's gonna give you everything he has that day, whether it be four innings, whether it be six innings, and he's gonna empty the tank. And every one of his starts, you can always say he gave you a chance to win. So excited to get him back back in Wenatchee and back at our rotation.
Look back at his numbers from last year, 1-2 with a 4.26 ERA, all nine games he started, 44 and a third innings, 42 punchouts, 28 walks, 40 hits. The walks were a little bit higher last summer compared to the year before. When we were talking about him in 2022, we were saying, wow, this is a guy who the only way to get on base against him is with base hits, because he had, in 2022, 12 walks over 38 innings. That changed a little bit, but it kind of just kind of got back to, I think, what you would have said was more normal for a pitcher. For us, it felt like, wait a sec, why is Quincy walking guys all of a sudden? It was kind of, to me, it seemed like it was more of just regression to the norm in that sense. Mm-hmm. What would you like to see from him to maybe get back to that 2022 numbers in terms of limiting the free passes?
Yeah, you know, I think with his progression, I think the next step is just going to be getting back to that as far as, you know, we talked about the strikeouts, but not every guy has to be a punch out, man. We have really good defense behind you. It's a wood bat league. You know, your stuff plays at any level. So go get soft contact, man. Even if you fall behind, you know, 1-0, 2-0, go fill up the zone, man. Even if you got to give up a cookie here and now, or, you know, every once in a while and give them something to hit, but make them earn it. And so that was discussions we had last summer as well. And I know Quincy was frustrated by it a little bit. He'd be the first one to tell you he walked too many guys or hit too many guys and just too many free passes. But, you know, knowing him, he's going to clean that up and he'll compete around the zone. And it's something I'm not too concerned with.
16 starts the last two seasons. I know you're kind of getting a rough depth chart in hand right now. Is this a guy you're kind of penciling in as one of those middle of the rotation arms again?
Yeah, definitely. Him being able to get here from day one, you know, he just kind of slides right into one of those starting roles, and you know every week that you can give him the ball and he's going to go give you four or five innings. And, you know, summer baseball, it's hard because, you know, you don't have very many guys like that. The guys like that we saw last year, like the Toby Harris who show up day one and get into the rotation, a lot of times they get shut down or, you know, they're leaving by July. So having Quincy here and a guy you can count on every single week, it kind of just gives you that familiarity and you know, it lets you play and it's easy to write a lineup.
You think we'll see him start on opening day at home for the second year in a row? Last year got the home opening start. Apple Sox open up the schedule at home in 2024 as well. You think we'll see him on May 31st?
Yeah, you know, I'm supposed to keep that a secret. I'm sure Port Angeles is listening to this podcast, so I don't want them getting a 3-month scouting report on Quincy for opening night. So
that's fair enough.
I'll name my starter later this spring.
Apologies to Matt Acker. No head intel right now if he's listening. But anyway, with that in mind, talking about Quincy, let's move on to our next player. I'm going to be welcoming back a guy who, when you mention Quincy Vassar with the Apple Sox, you typically mention this guy right afterwards. We could do a whole podcast, Mitch, just talking about this guy. It's Evan Canfield. I'm sure a lot of people are happy to have him back for a third season with the Apple Sox. Besides the personality, which we'll get into, a dynamite arm. I mean, we can't say enough about the work he's done the last two summers.
Yeah, another special Apple Sox player, man. He has been really good for us the last two summers. He has been probably our best reliever both summers. Just a guy that, you know, we go to early in the games. This doesn't even have to be a late inning situation. We go fifth, sixth inning. If we have a lead, we just go straight to Canfield. And it amazes me how many times he's able to come in and just close the door, four innings, three innings, whatever it may be. But he's so comfortable in Wenatchee. It's amazing in a way to see just how he comes out here in the summertime and he's relaxed and confident and just fills up the zone. And, you know, honestly, one of the better relievers in the West Coast League the last couple summers. So huge to get him back. You can, you know, pencil in right where he's going to fit in our bullpen and, you know, kind of build your back end of your bullpen around him.
Fantastic year last year, 2.03 ERA, 12 appearances leading the team, 36 strikeouts, third most on the Apple Sox, five different outings of at least three innings, including when he went 5 1/3 of shutout ball against Bellingham on July 25th. Also, his first outing of the summer felt like he picked up right where he did in 2022, June 7th against Springfield, 5 shutout innings, Apple Sox walk it off that night. It just felt like I said, he picked up right where he left off from the summer before and at times even looked more impressive It was so fun to watch him. It was a guy who came in and he slimmed down a bit too, Mitch. That was something that, second summer with the Apple Sox, had that lights out year in 2022, but you could tell he was still looking to try and up his performance because, you have a 1.22 ERA in 9 games in your first year, and you come back still thinking, maybe I've got something to prove here. That was impressive.
And a guy that, always wants the ball. He's always begging, always 2, 3 days later, wants to be up, wants to be hot that night. So just my type of guy to have on the team as well. Just, obviously keeps everything light in the clubhouse and in the dugout. Even on days he's not pitching, he's having a good time and keeping us relaxed. But man, when it's his time to throw, he's ready to go and he gets ready quick. He's a guy you send down to the bullpen. He's hot in about 2 minutes and ready to go. And he's just had so many big games for us the last couple of summers. You brought up the Bellingham one. That one really sticks out. But big moments, big saves. He's just kind of been a guy that I think our fans even have recognized these last couple summers as, oh, Canfield's in. You kind of take that deep breath like, yeah, we got this. We're going to finish this thing out. So, excited to see what he's going to do in his third summer course.
Yeah, such a fun guy to watch pitch. A completely different demeanor compared to when he's in the dugout. I asked Mike Calia his favorite Evan Canfield story when we talked back in the winter. I'm sure you've got a few from the last 2 summers. Can you give me an Evan Canfield story that maybe is your favorite that we can say on the podcast as well?
Oh man, I've got too many of them, honestly. This one, let me think. This one, I think it was our last, it was the playoffs. We're going to Victoria. We had gotten beat at home the night before, and we're on the bus and I'm counting heads on food or something, getting how many guys total are on the bus before we pull out of some mall in Canada. And Canfield's, chirping at me a little bit, as he always does, saying something to me. And I flick his hat a little bit. And he gives me a little push, and the next thing I know, me and Canfield are in a full out wrestling match on the bus. Apologies to our GM who had probably bought these box of cookies, but I think we roll over onto a box of cookies, and cookies are falling. Every guy on the bus is circled up laughing, and me and Canfield are just full blown wrestling in the middle of the aisleway on our bus. And obviously no mean intentions at all, but just having a good time. And I'd like to say I got the better of him. I think he tapped out. So we'll have to see this next summer if anything comes of that. But yeah, that's my Evan Canfield story.
Is he the only guy in the dugout who calls you Skip too? I mean, it doesn't seem like anyone else does, and it's the way he says Skip too that kind of gets me. And if you've heard Evan Canfield speak casually, not for the interviews, he's a much different person with an interview than he is casually, but is he the only one who does that?
I think so. I don't know any other guys that call me Skip. I'm pretty much all Coach Mitch or Coach, and he's the only one. And something's coming after he says Skip, and it's not going to be something productive. So it's always something funny. But that guy is hilarious to have around. So excited to just get him back in the clubhouse and see that smile and face of his.
How big is it to have someone like that over the course of the summer? It's a 2.5 month season, but we always talk about it. Inevitably, fatigue settles in. Late July, all of a sudden, guys are going, it's pretty hot. I'd love to not have to worry about baseball. How helpful is it to have someone like Canfield there to kind of keep things loose for the whole season?
Oh, I think it's huge. Like you said, the dog days of summer, it's hot. Guys, at a certain point, you get a little fatigued and tired on these road trips. And having a guy that just keeps it light and keeps it fun, and he's always doing something, you never know what to expect with him. It just keeps everybody in this good mood. It's hard not to have a good time when you're around a kid like that. Even for coaches after a loss or whatever it may be, we're heading back to the hotel, and you just know Canfield's going to do something funny or say something funny, and he just picks everybody up. So it makes the summer so much more enjoyable. Have a guy like that around.
And he's had a huge impact, like we said, both in the dugout and on the field the last couple of seasons. So, Mitch, let's move on to our third guy. And this is another pitcher, which people may notice is kind of a common theme with a lot of these returners. Third returner coming back, Jack DiDonato, a guy who technically is going to be appearing in his fourth season with the Apple Sox. Pitched in one game, pinch hit in a game in 2021, got some work in 2022, and then got his most usage with the Apple Sox in 2023. What are you excited about having Dito back for a fourth season?
Yeah, I'm really excited to have Dito back. The biggest thing that sticks out to me with him is just his leadership and the way he kind of carries the other arms and our pitchers. You know, he just kind of holds everybody accountable. It feels like every time you show up to the yard, he's the first one there. He's always working on the mound or putting in extra time or constantly in the office asking how he can get better or ways he can improve. So he's a big one. It's not always the on-field stuff that he's doing as far as, you know, his performance on the mound. A lot of it is just the way he sets his tone and the way he handles his business day in and day out. And again, for summer baseball, it's so important to have guys like that because it's so easy to just come out here and, you know, oh, if I'm not throwing, I'm not working today. Or, you know, if I'm not pitching, then, you know, I don't need to be suited and fully dressed and helping out with field work or doing whatever it may be. But, you know, he's working hard in the gym. He's constantly doing the little things right. And you need guys like that to kind of set your culture for the summer of baseball.
I think that's a great way to put it. He's another guy like Quincy who kind of loves the brand and someone who is a different connection to the Apple Sox for Jack, where, you know, he's from Mercer Island, went to Mercer Island High School, and then his family basically moved to Wenatchee. I mean, he was telling me this before. They basically moved right after he graduated from high school in 2021. Pitches for the Apple Sox a little bit that summer, and now is going to be part of his fourth season with the team, where it's neat how they have kind of had an impact on him in that time. The team has had that type of impact, and he, like I said, like Quincy, he kind of bleeds the red, white, and blue.
Oh, absolutely. He's the same exact way, you know, wants to be an Apple Sox, doesn't want to play anywhere else in the summer, you know, and when you live in that town and that community, it's just important to you to put on a good performance and, you know, you want the team to be good and you can just tell he cares. And so it's great having guys like him and Quincy both who really, you know, just represent the Apple Sox well.
Jack has pitched, we mentioned, you know, the last two seasons a little more heavily with the Apple Sox. Got his most work in 2023, 9 appearances, 13 2/3 innings. There were times with him, you know, we could see the really shutdown stuff that he can bring when he's on the mound. There were times where it got out of hand against him. One of the things I remember us talking about at this time last year with him was that mentality when he's able to lock it in, about how that guy, if he's in the right mindset, he's extremely unhittable, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. He's always a guy that you don't know what you're going to get, but when he is locked in, it is absolutely dominant. You know, last year, a lot of times we'd be down 4 or 5 runs and he's the guy you throw in because there's a chance he goes in there and just starts hanging zeros and guys feed off that. Because he brings energy when he's on the mound. You know, when he's locked in and gets going and bobbing the head and striking people out, he works quick and our just entire team can feed off of it. So I still always think back to that game his first summer with me, that the his technically second summer 2022, but at Kamloops, down 9-0, Dito comes in and just starts hanging zeros and firing guys up, and we slowly start chipping away and come all the way back. So just a good energy guy to have and just a good person to have on your baseball team.
Yeah, absolutely. That game, July 30th, 2022, the 2 2/3 innings. Who can forget the one not long after, August 3rd, 5 innings out of the bullpen to get the win against Yakima. I mean, that was a game that season. We needed that win. We needed a chance to win that series, and he did everything he could to really help out and get the win that day. Also a guy who has finally gotten into some college action. I don't think we can stress that enough. Started at Washington State, redshirted. Went to New Mexico, redshirted. Now at Lower Columbia, and I was glad for him when I saw it happen back on February 25th and the second game of LC's doubleheader against Bellevue. Got the win with 3 innings of work in that one. He's had, and this is such a common theme, summer to summer, Mitch. We say this guy's got a journey. He's had, you know, he's been some places. For Jack, his journey has been just trying to get onto the field again in a meaningful college game. And he's another one of those guys I bring up to fans that, you know, the summer baseball matters for guys like that. Because for Jack DiDonato, until this past late February, he had the only college games he had pitched in had been with the Apple Sox.
Right. And those type of guys are good to have around, man, because they always come in hungry. They always come into the summer and wanting innings and wanting to play. And they got something to prove, a little bit of chip on their shoulder. So having some guys with some edge who want the ball and want to win. Those are my type of guys. Want to have those type of guys around.
How big was pitching coach Mike Calia in bringing you think Jack over to Lower Columbia? Because Mike also holds the same role at the Red Devils.
Oh, I think it was everything. I think Dito loved working with Mike last summer, and again, LC, that's their culture, man. They're all about working. They're gonna outwork you. They're what they call glass eaters, man. They're gonna do everything it takes. Eat glass before they strike out. Eat glass before they lose. And so, having Dito around, he's just a leader for that entire team. He's a little bit of an older guy who's been around the Division One baseball, and I know Mike was fired up to bring Jack in, and I know Jack was fired up as well to be heading over to LC. So excited to see how that spring works out for those guys.
Let's move on to our fourth player now, Hunter Gibson, pitching in his third summer with the Apple Sox. Again, continuing the theme of guys who are more than just 2-year players with Wenatchee once they come this summer. For Gibson, I mean, I don't know if we could talk about, of all these returning players, Mitch, I don't know if we could talk about more of a turnaround from 2022 into 2003 than Hunter Gibson. An important reliever for the Apple Sox in 2022, but in 2023, kind of became a guy that we started circling days that he was our starting pitcher because of the ability to strike guys out and pretty much give us a chance to win without scoring a lot of runs.
Yeah, he was the guy last year that I'd mentioned the summer before, was dealing with some coming off an arm injury, and I think that played a big reason into the kind of the first summer that he had with us, the little bit of the bumps and the ups and downs. But yeah, you hit the nail on the head last summer, a guy that when it was his day to start, we were excited. We knew, we got a shot to win this. We just got to score a few runs. I love Hunter Gibson, man. I love his mentality. He is the definition of a bulldog on the mound, not only because he's an Ellensburg bulldog, but just because of the competitiveness that he brings. Kind of a fiery kid, doesn't care who he's throwing against. He wants to throw against the best guys and just goes right at hitters. Does not walk a lot of guys, which I love. Just fills it up, lets his defense play, and I think our team and our guys just fed off that last summer. So, unfortunately, he got shut down about midway through just because he had thrown so many innings for Big Bend at the time. But now him being at Northern Colorado, I think we'll get closer to a full summer with him, depending on that inning load. But whatever we get out of Hunter, we know it's going to be good quality innings.
You mentioned it at Northern Colorado now, and he really earned that opportunity with them after the 2023 spring season he had at Big Bend. 2.67 ERA, 74 strikeouts in 97 and two-thirds innings, 16 games. So that was why he only started three with the Apple Sox. But I mean, Mitch, the numbers for three appearances last year with the Sox are incredible. Three games, all starts, 17 and a third innings, 13 strikeouts, two walks, 14 hits. And just two runs total given up in that time. It was unbelievable how exciting it was to watch him, just because we had some really dominant starting pitching at times last year. I'd go as far to say that, Hunter Gibson's three outings with the Apple Sox might have been up there among the top five most dominant outings by a starter last summer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really important for the run we had in the first half. I mean, we at that time weren't heavy on arms. We were kind of piecing it together on who was going to start. And Hunter was commuting from Ellensburg at the time. And so it just felt like after that first start, it felt like every week we were shooting him a text and like, "Hey, you think your coach will let you throw one more outing for us?" And after the second one, "Hey, you think your coach will let you throw one more outing for us?" And credit to him, man. He was begging his coaches just to keep letting him come get starts for us, and that's just the competitor kid he is. So I'm really excited. I'm excited to have him back. Him fully healthy, a year of Division One experience under his belt now. I think he's going to be great for us again.
It was really funny saying goodbye to him after his start on June 28th and then saying hello and goodbye again on July 7th after he faced Kamloops. But certainly we're happy to have him back for that extra outing in there as well, Mitch. Let's move on to our next guy. We've got four players down. Let's go to the fifth returning player and a guy who we talked about, a dominant reliever earlier, at Evan Canfield. Another one for the Apple Sox last year, Jaden Williamson. It felt like with those two on the team, you could win two or three games in a series, even if your starting pitching didn't go the way it wanted, which More often than not, last summer, the starting pitching was exactly what the Apple Sox wanted, but it felt like if you had maybe two rough nights in a row, you could get away with throwing Evan Canfield that first night, and the second night, maybe Jaden Williamson, just another electric arm out of the bullpen.
Yep, that's just the kind of the way we think of Jaden when we heard we were going to have him back. You know, couldn't help but get excited about that. He was just kind of our horse in the bullpen, man. It got into the sixth, seventh inning, and he was a guy that you just had to hand the rock, and you knew what you were going to get. Very similar to Evan Canfield, just a dominant, dominant arm. You know, and a guy that really has professional level stuff. I mean, up to a mid-90s fastball at times. Big physical body, has everything he needs. I think if his development just keeps going and he keeps improving, this is a kid that, you know, it just wouldn't surprise you to see his name called in the draft someday. He's just got to keep working, and I know he will. It'll be fun to see this summer the improvements he made from last summer and get him locked in.
Second team All West Coast League last season. Pitching right now is a redshirt junior at Lewis and Clark State College. He tied for third on the Apple Sox in innings pitched, despite 10 of his appearances, all 10 of them coming in relief. Led the team in strikeouts with along with Quincy Vassar with 42, tied for the seventh most strikeouts in the West Coast League. It was so fun to watch him go to work because there were several times where he took the mound. We lost the games, but it felt like, boy, with the effort he was giving, like we might have a chance. You know, he's holding the other team at bay. We've got a shot here to come back. I think the best one you can look at that like that for him was probably, you know, the game one of the division series against Victoria. Comes on in the first inning and nearly replicates what he did in the NWAC championship game last year, Mitch. It felt kind of like an eerily similar situation where, okay, let's call on Jaden early and let's see what he can do. But not quite the 8 2/3 innings of relief, but 7 1/3 out of the bullpen. I mean, this is the stuff you see like from folklore previous, you know, 50 to 60 years ago in baseball history. But you had Jaden Williamson and Evan Canfield, two guys who could do that on the same team last year. And like we said, they gave the team a chance every time they took the mound to pitch. And I thought that outing in the playoffs was probably my favorite one by him, even though we lost, even though that was a frustrating final home game of the season, to see him come out and throw the game he had, 7 1/3, 2 runs, 1 earned, 5 hits, 1 walk and 5 strikeouts, good enough to win the game with that effort.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, not only just the numbers, but just the gutsy performance. You can tell when a guy is just on the mound, leaving everything he's got out there. And Jaden wanted the ball early in that game. And, you know, we just figured we got to go to him. We got to try to win this thing. And he held him at bay, man. He gave their offense a chance to keep scoring. And that's just the type of competitor he is, man. When he's on the mound, he is locked in and he is ready to go. And, you know, at times barking at his teammates to get going and barking at our offense to get going. And I think we enjoy it. We as coaches enjoy that type of competitiveness. And again, especially with summer baseball where, you know, there's kind of a casualty about it where people kind of roll out and, you know, some days you just kind of feel laid back. Guys like this really help, you know, poke guys and get people going and be like, no, that's not what we're doing. We're here to win. And that's what Jaden's all about.
Certainly upcoming, as we mentioned, from winning the NWAC championship in the spring, but then coming out and really continuing that work with the Apple Sox was huge. You look at some of the other outings he had. I mean, 5 outings of at least 4 innings in the regular season before those 7 1/3 on August 8th in the postseason. You know, probably the most important outing he tossed, though, was against the Bellingham Bells August 3rd. 5 2/3 innings of scoreless ball in relief, 2 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts. That game was the game for us where it felt like, okay, the postseason is here now. Like, we've won this type of game. We've gone on the road and gotten a victory in front of a packed house of over 3,000 fans. And we did it with our guy on the mound, and that one in Jaden Williamson.
Yeah, that honestly, that was one of my favorite moments of the summer was that game. You know, especially you lose those first two on the road. It's so easy to just, you know, go into a little bit of pit and self-doubt and just kind of roll over and get swept. And our club came out and we fought and Jaden came in. Just lights out that night and guys were making plays behind him, had the big MJ Sweeney home run. That moment right there was such an electric atmosphere to packed house. And that's when you kind of learn, you're like, okay, Jaden, when the lights are brightest, when everything's on the line, Jaden is the guy that you want with the ball. And that moment kind of proved to me that there's no question about it.
That eighth inning was so fun too. We're winning at the time by a 2-1 score. We head to the bottom of the eighth in their house. You know, Bellingham's thinking, okay, let's get a run off this guy in his fourth inning of work, and then let's move on to, try and wrap this up on the top of the ninth. Lead off single to start the inning, but then a strikeout, another strikeout, stolen base, and another strikeout. That was classic Jaden Williamson.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even in a jam, he'd find a way to work out. And I just, yeah, that was a great game overall.
And that was impressive because two outings prior on July 26 was only one of the two times in the season that he allowed more than two runs in a game. Four runs, only one was earned on three hits, two walks, and six strikeouts in three innings against the Bells, that time at Paul Thomas. I'm sure him, like a lot of the guys, were remembering that tough series the week prior and were really trying to bounce back from that. So that was really cool. Other great outings from him that we have to touch on: the five scoreless out of the bullpen against Edmonton, July 2nd, to win the rubber match of that series. Really needed that game because we had dropped the Canada Day game the day before, and he really helped. Big explosive inning from the bats in the third, and then once again, Jaden Williamson takes it home with the final five innings of that one. And then right before that, right after that, beg your pardon, his next outing, July 6th, one of the most important games of the year. Again, didn't go our way, fell 3-2, but he did again. He did everything he had to keep us in that game. Six innings out of the bullpen, you called on him in the third. And he went the distance, just one hit, no walks, and six strikeouts. Mitch, that was the day we realized, once we lost that, we weren't going to win the first half. But just like the playoff game, Jaden Williamson again did everything he possibly could and turned in just in another impressive outing.
Yep. Some of those moments, things don't go your way, and you realize, obviously you lost the game, and you're not going to win the first half, and you got to still keep fighting for a playoff spot. But you learn so much more from moments like that when you find out who guys truly are. And that was another big moment for Jaden, where you kind of just saw, you could see the guts, the fight, and the just the willingness to compete, and just did not want to lose. So yeah, I'll never remember or never forget that one as well.
As we're spewing these stats about him and Canfield before, about their innings out of the bullpen, I'm sure fans listening are wondering, okay, so these guys ate up all these innings. Why would you not try them out as starting pitchers? Now, in your 2 years with the Apple Sox, it's been common for you to have, you like having guys and go five innings to start the game, but you also like having a couple guys out of the bullpen who can kind of clean it up and go the distance. Tell me about, your thinking with that, with those types of guys, where you have guys like Canfield and Williamson who probably could and would be really effective starters, but you like to use them out of the bullpen. Explain that.
Yeah, honestly, the way I manage the game in general is just it's not as traditional as baseball kind of has become with, especially with pro baseball. You have your short relief guys, your long relief guys, and then you have your just true defined closer. I just don't do that. We get a lead in the fifth, sixth inning, and I go to one of my best guys because a lot of times I call on my best guys for multiple innings. I don't bring in Jaden or Evan for just the ninth and wait and hope that we have the lead in the ninth. When we have a lead and we're getting late into a ball game, fifth, sixth inning, I go to them and then I go from there. You're right. I just go to my best arm and kind of see how it goes inning by inning, and then we adjust from there. And fortunately, me and Mike see that the same way and kind of manage the game that's in a similar way, and it's worked out for us.
It's such an interesting thing, and I'm glad you brought up that the major league level guys like to have a closer, and it's different when it's 162 games in Major League Baseball and when it's around 60 or so in the summer, and you can kind of get away with that thought of, no, I want to use my best pitcher as long as I can because I'm not playing for when our championship gets decided 5 months from now. I'm playing for 2.5 months from now. So is that maybe part of what makes it easier? Like, do you think, like, let's say you're at a higher level, would you probably look at it a little differently?
Oh, of course. Of course. And they know their guys so much better at that level. They know who to face in this situation, what his righty lefty splits are. For me, I'm just going a lot of it's just a feel thing. And hey, I know Evan's lights out, and I know he can give me more than one or two. He's good 2 to 3 times through an order, and he's built up for a pitch count like that. So, we just kind of play it that way.
The 2024 Wenatchee Apple Sox season begins on May 31st with a 6:35 p.m. game against the Port Angeles Lefties. Spend your summer soaking up the sun at the ballpark and watching some of the top college baseball players in the country. The season lasts until mid-August, and the Apple Sox are looking to make a third consecutive postseason appearance this season. Secure your tickets now by heading to applesox.com or by calling 509-665-6900. Wenatchee Apple Sox Baseball, celebrating summer one inning at a time. All right, Mitch, we're on to our next player now. This is going to be Braden Boyd, another guy who fans are going to be familiar with. This will be parts of three seasons with him, if we can call it that. The one non-league game in 2022. Much more action for him ahead of his freshman year at Washington State. What did you like about Braden Boyd from last summer?
Yeah, last summer, you know, obviously Braden was an incoming freshman, you know, so just getting his feet wet in the West Coast League, you know, facing consistent Division I hitters is always a step up, you know, especially when you're going from a smaller school, high school, up to that level. But man, I think a lot of our fans saw Braden's progression last summer. As we got later into the summer, he started getting more significant innings for us and, you know, important innings for us. Like, you know, I think back to that save he had at Kelowna, kind of with the second half on the line and in a big game on a Friday night at their place, trying to win against, you know, Kelowna, who was no scrub themselves. You know, they had a great season. They were a playoff team. And I thought really that's where I could see Braden had taken that next step. And, you know, the thing that excites me the most is he's now going to have a full year under a Division I pitching coach. I think Nathan Choate at Washington State does a great job developing arms. So, you know, I'm expecting Braden to come in here and take a big step forward. You know, I think he's a guy that could compete for getting into our starting rotation and being a consistent guy for us every week. So really, really excited that he's coming back and another local one that we'll keep around.
It was so good in that game you mentioned, August 4th against Kelowna last season. Final four innings, got the save, 5 strikeouts, 3 hits, 3 walks, 1 earned run allowed. It's weird even saying it. He did tie for the team lead in saves. I say that because it was just 3 saves. But, you know, Evan Canfield, Jaden Williamson also had 3 saves. So Braden was a big part of the team, like you mentioned. You know, a lot of big outings late in the summer where he started out and he was kind of figuring things out. And, you know, I wondered about that last summer early on when, you know, we were bringing him into situations and it was a challenge at first. I wondered if maybe it was that because, you know, hey, he'd been starting so much in high school. Do you think there was something with him maybe needing to figure out what he needed to do to get ready to be a reliever?
Yeah, I think that definitely plays into it. You know, it's a little easier when you know your day that you're going to pitch and you're going to start and you show up to the yard and have your pregame routine as opposed to, hey, it's the fourth inning, go down to the bullpen and start getting warmed up. You're going in the game. You know, that's just a different role to have. But also, I think a big thing with Braden was just learning how to sequence his pitching. You know, when he first came in and the summer had started, it was a little bit high schoolish. It was very, you know, fastball, fastball, breaking ball, fastball, fastball, breaking ball. You know, and guys are just too good in this league. You know, they realize patterns and they jump all over it. So I think learning how to pitch and using his breaking ball, because he has a really good breaking ball, to his advantage to keep guys off time. And I think he's just going to keep growing and keep developing off of that. And I think he'll be really solid for us.
It was neat to see how much he adapted as the season went on. And even just from that first appearance to the second one, June 14th against Springfield, gives up a couple of runs, does get the win, 3 2/3 innings. But then the very next game, 4 days later, 3 scoreless out of the bullpen. So he was a guy, it seemed like it didn't take a whole lot for him to realize, okay, wait, now I know what I have to do over the course of the season to really be successful. And got an outing in the postseason as well. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if he can get that opportunity as a starting pitcher too, because hasn't pitched yet at Washington State. I know, obviously, looking to try and get into an outing there, but this is a guy, his high school numbers, they speak for himself, Mitch. What he achieved in the Caribou Trail League with Chelan, you know, CTL Player of the Year 2022, all CTL first team 2022 and 2023, just, you know, some incredible work, including an 18-strikeout game in 8 innings you know, last spring with Chelan. So just remarkable stuff from him in high school.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the best things about Braden is he's such a high character kid. He's quiet, but he just goes about his business the right way. He's, you know, he's consistently on time to the yard, getting his work in before the game. Doesn't miss a day in the weight room. One of the hardest working guys there, and just handles himself very professionally. He's just kind of carries himself the right way. He's got that quiet confidence. You know, even 2 years ago when we brought him in and he threw in a non-league game, I didn't get a sense like I have with other guys where, oh my gosh, I'm a high school kid, or oh, I haven't even stepped foot on campus and I'm pitching for the Apple Sox. It was very just mature and yeah, I'm supposed to be here. And I think he just handles and carries himself that way. He never at any point this summer looked rattled or you know, intimidated on the mound. He just is learning how to pitch and he's confident.
And he's kind of like Quincy in the sense where he was someone he grew up with the Apple Sox, grew up wanting to pitch for them at some point. So it's neat to have these guys in that full circle moment too, Mitch. And I asked Quincy about this a few weeks ago. I'm sure Brad would say the same, but Quincy was saying that, you know, when things switched and he was originally the kid who was in the kids' camps, and then he was the guy on the Apple Sox training those guys. I know he said that was something he enjoyed. I'm sure Brad would say the same.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, he had been talking to me a little bit going into last summer and talking with his dad, and both of them were kind of just feeling out the Apple Sox and like, hey, you know, we have some other options. You know, I knew, you know, maybe Yakimov was interested in them. I know he had a connection with that program, and but Braden really wanted to be an Apple Sox, and he wanted to play for us and stay local, and his parents could come watch and family could come watch. So I knew it meant quite a lot to him.
And it was really nice to have him too. Let's move on to our next set of players. These are guys who are kind of just coming back for a second season with the Apple Sox. And Mitch, we've talked a lot about pitchers. Six pitchers in a row. Should have just had Mike Calia on for this podcast. But let's go to a position player. We're going to go to a guy. He's on a 10-day contract for the second straight year. Fred Buxton, a guy who was at Vanguard, is at Vanguard. Similar situation as Quincy. A guy you said last year, Quincy had helped bring over to this team. But Fred Buxton getting set to come back. Can we expect kind of something similar with him this year where he'll be there for opening day early on in the season? If he's earned the spot, he stays. If not, maybe he's an option to come back later in the year.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say just because I never want to say, oh, a guy can never earn a spot. Obviously, if a guy, I mean, we saw Easton Amundson come in here last June, and you know, there was no way you were going to send that kid home. I mean, it's just you're just not going to do it, whether you're a 10-day or not. You know, and Fred was kind of in that same boat where there's just other guys that we have signed to full summer contracts that we have to respect that were ahead of him. But he's one of those guys that you're rooting for. You want, in a sense, you want something to open up or a roster spot to become available because you know he's good enough. He's definitely good enough to play in this league. He's definitely good enough to be a full summer guy with us. It's just going to be whether or not we have the room and how our roster looks at that time. But talented guy. You know, he played second base all last year for Vanguard. This year, now he's starting every day at shortstop. You know, so we saw a little bit of that with us last summer. His ability to jump over to second, jump over to third, really good defender, really quick. It'll be what just whether or not he's producing at the plate. But I really have a great feeling about Fred this summer. I think he's going to help us a ton.
You think just seeing the West Coast League pitching maybe a second time could really help? Because he was a guy, he came in, his numbers spoke for themselves. For what he did at Vanguard in 2023, led them in RBI, extra base hits, and home runs, second on the team in stolen bases. I remember thinking, okay, here we go. This is a guy who's going to come in. He's just came off a great spring. And, you know, he can translate that here. It didn't really end up translating, unfortunately. But his defense was something for me. Especially early on, it was pretty clear. It was like, this guy can defend. And I thought maybe that would have a chance of keeping around. But like you said, you know, there was a lot of depth. There were a lot of guys coming in. But, you know, if he has that type of defense and can get the bat going, I would sure think that's going to be a guy who might be with the team all summer this year, right?
Definitely. Yeah. I think he's got a great shot. Like I said, just gonna depend on how the roster looks at that time and the guys that we have signed and who's coming in. But no, you know, and I don't want to knock him for last summer, like saying that he didn't do something at the plate. Baseball is hard enough, and when you only are on a 10-day contract, man, it's
Oh,
like,
yeah.
and you've only got six, seven games to go out there and prove yourself. It's hard enough, man. He's a great hitter. You know, it just he wasn't hot to start the season, which is tough to beat, but he is a dirtbag type player. He does the little things right. He's a great defender, like you said. Can take extra bases. He's a good base runner. He reminds me a lot of, in a way, Xander Orejudos, my first summer, an NAIA type guy, a little older kid that's played 3, 4 years of college baseball, but just really savvy, really good on the bases, you know, just a smart hitter, smart player, and a good guy to have in your clubhouse. So whether he's here for a couple weeks, whether he's here all summer, I think Fred is going to be a really significant part of us next summer.
He came back to the Apple Sox in late July, and Mitch, we've talked about this before. I had never really seen that happen with guys until these last two seasons with you. I think our fans were always a little surprised. Hey, wait a sec, that guy's back. I thought we said goodbye to him. Tell me how that worked getting, you know, Fred to come back in late July when we needed some depth.
Yeah, Fred actually, you know, got injured early on in June. He kind of had just not a significant injury, just some hip soreness and different stuff going on. And so it was time for him to depart. And, you know, we had spoke with him about, hey, you know, if something happens and truly if someone drops out or we have an injury, we'd like to bring you back. You know, and he's local, he's from Washington. So he went home, kind of rehabbed, got ready. And we ended up losing a couple guys, and it was perfect because we were able to bring him back in. And he was with us for our playoff run just to add some extra depth and a kind of a pinch hitter, late inning type role. But yeah, that was how that worked out.
Awesome. So looking forward to having him back on the 10-day contract. Let's move on to our next player, Mitch, as we continue here. We've got seven players who we've talked about so far returning. We've got three more to go. And this is one who's a little different from everyone else we've done so before, Mitch. Riley Sinclair, who did not pitch for the Apple Sox in 2023, did in 2022. This is a classic case of a guy who is coming back from some injuries, and this could be a really big summer for him, helping to get up back to that level he wants to be at.
Definitely. You know, Riley, unfortunately, has kind of had the injury bug here the last couple of years and hasn't just been able to stay fully healthy and pitch. You know, probably one of the healthiest points was the summer he had with us two summers ago. And I thought he was great for us as far as stuff wise and just mound presence and the way he worked. I thought Riley was a really good arm. You know, one of my favorite things about this job is when guys circle back with you and want to come back and want to play for you. And that was the case with Riley. You know, last summer he was hoping to play for us and didn't work out with the injury stuff. And then this summer he, you know, circles back and, hey coach, I still would love to come pitch for you if I can. And that's always awesome because it shows us that these guys want to come play for us and they like what we're doing and like what we're about. And I'm excited. I think Riley could be a guy that jumps right back into a starter role for us. I know that, you know, this spring he's kind of going to be more of a late inning type guy for Seattle U, but, you know, we'll play it by ear and see how that goes. But he's a talented, talented kid.
Seems like one of those classic examples, and we see these usually, and you probably do a lot, in August and September when the season ends. There's guys who a season goes, and maybe, you know, you don't think about initially like, okay, yeah, I'm going to try to go back there. Maybe it's, okay, what's going on next? But you get guys like that who season ends and they go, wait a second, this was, you know, what actually was actually a pretty good spot to be in. It's, you don't even think about it because you're in full game mode, you know, over the course of the summer. But it seems like he's in that kind of situation where it's that you look back and you go, wow, that was really special and I'd like to do that again.
Yeah. You know, some guys it's 2 days later, they already know like, hey, if I can come back here, I'd love to come back next summer. You know, some guys, I think it's more towards fall, baseball kicks back off and, you know, the grind of practice starts and you're not playing every day. The weather's not as warm. And it's almost like you just start thinking, you know what was it? Wenatchee was pretty awesome. And I think I'd like to go back there. So, you know, we get that with all sorts of different returners. Some of them are texting you one day later. Some are calling you, you know, 4 or 5 months down the line thinking, you know, I kind of want to go back there.
It's funny how it goes too, because, you know, it's like you said, all of a sudden, you know, you're playing in the heat and oh, it's exhausting. It's another 90 degree day. Then, you know, you're picking up the baseball or the bat in February and you go, wait a second, maybe summer ball is the better side of the season.
Oh, especially if you're in some of these cold states. I mean, it's like you got to be practicing and indoors and then, you know, it gets dark early and you wake up, it's dark and you're leaving practice and it's dark and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, let's go back. I need summer baseball back in my life. And I know it's that way for me, so.
Oh, yeah. We're all getting in that mood right now as it's starting to get a little bit warmer slowly but surely. But talking more with Riley, you know, looking back at his 2022 season with the Apple Sox, 7 games, 6 starts, 26 strikeouts, 26 innings, 23 strikeouts, the 16 walks and 28 hits. And you look at some of his outings, and this was a guy, I remember it was right around that fourth or fifth inning he would usually get out of a game, but he did have the one really good start July 22nd of 2022 at Walla Walla. 6 innings, 2 runs on 7 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He was a guy, you know, he was going to give those 4 innings pretty much every time he took the bump, but it was sometimes maybe just moving up a little bit to the next inning. And that's not an uncommon thing in a lot of ways. And, you know, Mitch, I think we saw it last year. We realized that our Apple Sox team in 2023 was not the normal, where most of the time it felt like our starting pitchers were going 5 innings. A lot of teams weren't operating that way, and I think it's important for fans to realize that as exciting as that is and traditional as that is, it's not exactly against the game plan if the starter's not going 5 innings every time.
Right. I mean, you're dealing with so much other stuff as far as pitch count goes in summer baseball, innings goes in summer baseball, whether a guy's rehabbing or here in summer, you know, rehabbing from an injury. You know, and if I remember right, Riley that first summer was coming off a little bit of a dinged arm. He had hurt himself, wasn't pitching that spring. So you can't just keep rolling him out there and throw him 100 pitches, let him go late in the games. He was more of a starter that we thought, hey, get us through 4 clean ones, and then we'll go to our bullpen. And, you know, a perfect example of that's that Victoria last year in the playoffs. Andrew Monson's throwing a no-hitter, and those are the tough ones. It's like you got to respect a guy's pitch count, got to respect a guy who's coming off an injury, got to respect the program he's heading into. And you just got to make those tough adult decisions. And as bad as you want to send him back out there, you gotta take the ball from him.
Of course, you know, you're referring to that game. It was game 2 of the postseason. For those who don't remember the division series, that was 5 no-hit innings from Andrew Monson, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. At that time, there was no score in the game either. And then naturally, as soon as he comes out of the game, Victoria goes on and takes the lead and eventually, you know, wins the series and ends the Apple Sox season. But again, you know, hindsight's 2020, and at that point in the summer, everyone's had their inning loads to an extent that's kind of added up to really lead to things to get that way. But you know, going back with Riley Sinclair, we talked about that, you know, didn't really pitch much last year. Going to get some work this season. Is it, you know, you mentioned maybe, you know, maybe put him right back in the rotation, maybe see with the bullpen. Is that going to be kind of based on, you know, some trial and error maybe early on? Maybe, hey, we'll give him a start early. Okay, you know, maybe that wasn't what we wanted. Or is it kind of seeing what he's doing with Seattle U potentially?
Yeah, I think a lot of it depends on what Seattle U wants for him and the role he's in there. You know, for a lot of guys, they like to keep that same role. So if he's kind of their closer or late inning guy, you know, we would expect we'd probably want to match that and do that same thing, and rather than having him getting 5 or 6 starts all summer. But we'll see. We'll see what Riley wants and what Seattle wants. And like you said, kind of trial and error and see what he's most comfortable in.
Let's go to another position player for our 9th returning player to the Apple Sox. And this is going back to a guy who played for the team in 2023, appeared late in the season, but certainly made an impact once he joined the Apple Sox. And that's Jaden Holloway, an outfielder who this time around, he's going to get a little bit more of an extended opportunity with the team, isn't he, Mitch?
Definitely. You know, last summer we had some injuries towards the second half. We had some dropouts. Like we always say, for one reason or another, guys end up going home or tired, whatever it may be. So we called Jaden, you know, knew he was a really talented incoming freshman, was headed to Michigan State, Seattle prep kid, and gave him a shot out here in the second half. And dude, he flat out impressed us. I mean, we had numerous days where we were talking to the team and addressing the team, and we were referencing Jaden's at-bats and how mature his at-bats were. His two-strike approach is one thing that's, you know, stuck out to me, just his willingness to fight at the plate, did not strike out a bunch. But, man, he was hot. He just was hitting the ball well, seeing the ball well. Big, strong athlete. So it was a no-brainer for us. Jaden wanted to come back, and we definitely wanted him back. We think he's going to be a really good next level player, and excited to see how his development has gone at Michigan State and what he's going to do this summer for us.
He's one of those guys I felt like the eye test was the thing that gets you excited. You see him, you see he's 6'3", he's 200 pounds. And, you know, the way he looked comfortable in the box, but using his size and his frame, it was like, okay, if this guy makes contact, this could be special.
Yeah, definitely. And he was raw too. I mean, he's just kind of a raw athlete. I think towards the back half of summer, he was really just absorbing everything we were telling him and polishing things up. And I can only imagine how much better he's going to be this summer after a year of work. And he's another one. He handles himself very professionally. He's a quiet kid. But man, he is confident, you know, for an incoming freshman to step up, be called 2 days before and show up in Wenatchee, and you're in the starting lineup and produce the way he did last summer. It's really special. And he's a special kid. He's just got a really good mindset. And I think he's going to work his tail off. He's going to do whatever we ask of him. And ultimate team guy. I think he's a guy that wants to show up first day and want to stay for a full summer. And he wants to be a part of something special for us.
In his freshman year at Michigan State right now, you know, obviously if people know me at this point, they know I like to give a lot of stats, but this was the simple one that stood out about him. Played in 10 games, including the postseason, and only had 2 games where he didn't have at least one hit. So this was a guy, and not to mention, he also drew a total of 7 walks over his 35 at or his 10 games and 35 at bats overall. I mean, he was giving competitive plate appearances every time he came up to the plate. There's a reason why he had a 4.29 average in 8 games in the regular season, Mitch.
Definitely, definitely. Like I said, yeah, those are great. I didn't even realize the walk numbers, which was impressive. His patience and his willingness to two-strike approach just was beyond impressive. And you know, I think a part of his game we didn't see is he runs really well. And he wasn't quite comfortable yet with some of the stuff we do on the bases and kind of the first and thirds and the different ways that we run, but. I think he's a good enough athlete that once he gets in and gets comfortable with the way we like to run and push extra bags, I think he's going to do some damage on the base paths for us. And I'm excited about that.
Played in his first game on July 28th, and there was only one game from that point until the end of the season that he didn't play in. So a guy who really helped himself out getting into the lineup. Tell me how you got him, Mitch, because as we talked about, appeared with the team for the first time in late July. And every year, I think people wonder about this. You know, we see the guys, fans are getting to know guys right now here in March, April, and May here soon. These are the guys who were signed. These are the guys we're planning on have. Jaden Holloway wasn't signed until July. How'd you find him last season?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is some social media. It's, you know, it used to be called Twitter, now it's X, but following a lot of these guys. He originally was an Oregon State commit. So a lot of these kids in Washington or, you know, the west side of the states, I try to keep track of and see where they're going. And he had decommitted and went to Michigan State. He was a high school teammate with Reeve Boyd, who played with us last summer. So we kind of referenced Jaden to Reeve, and Reeve had great things to say about him. And we knew we needed an outfielder, and at that point in the summer, you're not going to bring in a kid from across the country or, you know, from another state. So it made sense. You know, we have a talented local kid. He's an incoming freshman. Let's give him a shot. Let's get him out here and see if he can play for us.
It worked really well. All right, let's go to our last player, Mitch. This one only appeared in one game last season, but is coming back for a second season. Wyatt Queen pitched in one of those games at the end of the regular season against Bellingham, and this was a guy you were kind of excited about. We knew we were only seeing him for one game, but I remember you talking at that time saying before the game, you were saying if he kind of matches up to everything we're seeing, everything he should be, this is a guy I'm going to be think really quickly about handing a contract right after that game.
Yep. Another one that I don't know how he flew under the radar. I knew some Division I schools were on him, but I'd gotten a tip from an ex-coach that said, "Hey, I don't know if you've seen this Wyatt Queen kid. He's legit. If you need an arm for a start or two this summer, you need to get on this kid." And so same thing, you know, got on Twitter and kind of messaged him and said, "Hey, you want to come get a start for us?" And man, he is blown up now. He's signed with Oregon State. He's at Everett Community College, and he's going to be their ace this spring. He's probably going to throw a ton of innings. If we whatever we get out of Wyatt, we're going to be thankful for. If we get him for 2 or 3 starts in June, that'd be awesome. But you know, just judging by his innings and his workload, you know, it'll be tough to say how much we see of him. But a definite guy that'll be in our starting rotation. Low 90s fastball, good breaking ball, and just confident, just a dog on the mound, man. He goes right at guys. That was the biggest thing that stood out to me at that game at Bellingham was another incoming freshman hadn't played for us, shows up, we give him a jersey, he hops on the bump. You know, I know Washington State and different Division I schools are there watching him, and he just puts on a show and goes and attacks a really good Bellingham lineup.
Yeah, he looked really comfortable immediately in that game. I mean, just to read the line on that, and this is the game we've referenced before that was back on was back on August 3rd where we talked about Jaden Williamson coming out of the bullpen. Wyatt Queen, 3 1/3, 4 hits, 1 run. It was earned, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. I mean, pretty good stuff for an incoming freshman against the Bellingham lineup, which, I mean, they finished the season with 35 wins. You know, I mean, a really incredible team. Again, over 3,000 people in attendance. You know, that could be really overwhelming for a guy in his position, but he looked really comfortable in his time that he was on the mound.
Definitely, definitely. And that just speaks to the confidence he has, man. I mean, as a coach, when you go into Bellingham or you go into some of those bigger markets and there's a crowd like that, you get a little bit of the, okay, my heart's thumping a little bit, some good butterflies. And man, to be 18 years old and just roll out of bed and, hey, I'm going to come throw on a uniform and start for the Apple Sox in a huge game that we needed for the playoffs and in a kind of a rivalry matchup, it was beyond impressive. So we knew immediately. We're like, whatever we can do to get this kid back next summer, we got to do it.
Did you end up pretty much giving him the contract right after that game you talked about, or was it a, hey, I'll be in touch?
Oh, it was, hey man, whenever you want to come play for us, whether it be the rest of this summer, whatever you got going next summer, you're always welcome back here. And again, and you know, a thankful thing, you know, this fall, you know, his coach called at Everett and said, hey, you know, he's got offers to Northwoods and wherever, some different West Coast League spots, but he'd prefer to come back to Wenatchee. Are you guys okay with that? And absolutely, no brainer for us.
Pretty cool for, you know, a guy to already have that kind of commitment, only having pitched the one game. At the time that we're recording this, you know, he's already appeared in 3 games at Everett, as you mentioned, 12 1/3 innings, 2-1, 2.92 ERA, 1.05 WHIP, which is just stupid good, and 18 strikeouts at that time. So, looking forward to what he can do. You know, we talk about this sometimes. It's fun to bring in the guys who are from the D1 schools. It's fun to bring in the names we know already, but sometimes your most valuable pitchers, especially pitchers, can kind of be those JUCO guys, can't they, Mitch?
Definitely. If you have the right connections to the NWAC or Central Arizona, some of these division or some of these junior colleges around the country, there's always good talent out there. There's always good players that are just ready to come prove themselves or sign Division One kids that are played 2 years of college baseball already. And those are the type of guys we like that have a little bit of experience. They're not as fresh as the fresh out of high school kids. They've got some college under their belt. But there's a lot of talent out there. I think a lot of these junior college guys, especially in the NWAC, get overlooked. I think just recently, a lot of these Division One schools are starting to tap into some of these spots, the Lower Columbias and Bellevues and Spokanes. And I mean, all over the NWAC, we see guys like Hunter Gibson, you know, Division One level arm that comes out of Big Bend. And, Brandon Ponce from Washington State, who was at Big Bend. There's good talent here. It's just finding them.
So Mitch, we look at these 10 players coming back for the Apple Sox, kind of like we said at the beginning, this is kind of that foundation continuing to grow. You've got the familiar faces who come back, and you add in a few more other names to that group who've kind of become part of this program identity. You've talked about it before, about building that group that, you know, maybe, you know, it's not a college program, but it is a pride in putting on the jersey and feeling some ownership in playing for the Apple Sox. How much does it excite you to bring these guys back?
Oh, I think it's huge. These are our culture setters. These are guys that, are going to have your back as a coaching staff. You want guys in there that have your back. There's a lot of conversations in the clubhouse that happen, without you present. So what are guys saying about you? What are guys saying about the leaders of the team and who they're following? And all these guys, I feel like are guys that we want in that clubhouse that kind of have our back and know what we want to accomplish. And I think they're going to set the tone for sure.
Be really exciting here for year number 3 with you with the Apple Sox. We kind of wind things down in here, just a last bit of housekeeping, so to speak. Mitch, at this point in the spring, what's on the checklist for you so fans can be aware? Like, what's some stuff you're working on right now as you get ready for the start of the 2024 season?
Yeah, a lot of it is just finalizing the 10-day rosters or the 10-day contracts to finish off our roster. Piecing together when guys are going to arrive with when guys are going to depart. And then, from there, just picking up some last minute stuff, constantly trying to learn or improve or try something new this summer. I talk with Mike a bunch and, we sit down on phone calls and reflect about, what did we like last summer? What did we not like? What do we want to do again this summer? What do we not want to do? And then we look around at different West Coast League programs and try to steal stuff that we liked from them, whether it be pregame stuff, whether it be the way they, run their offense, whether it be the way they handle their pitching staff, just kind of finalize some last minute stuff and get ready.
Really excited for that. Then the last thing I'll ask you about, give me an Apple Sox alum who, or maybe even one of these guys right now, who's kind of stood out to you this spring and, kind of spotlight some of their performances you've liked.
Dude, honestly, too many. That first
fun.
Summer, the 2022 team has some dudes that are going off. Grant Sherrod is, it looks like he's on pace to have another monster year. The latest kind of mock draft, I love those mock drafts that I've been studying a little bit. Matt Hallback's projected to go like seventh round in the draft this July. Joichiro, of course, is always fun to watch, with that team. Watching Enzo at Baylor this year, seeing him in a new uniform, he's tearing it up. I'm probably missing a few, but that Iva UW, of course, is having a good season, playing third base basically every day. Carson Olin's in the outfield for UW. It's been fun. That 2022 team, though, especially, there are some guys off that team that I think have a real shot of playing some professional baseball.
I'll throw in Cole Kramer in the midst there. It feels like WSU
of course.
Every game, it feels like Washington State has. We're seeing Cole Kramer highlights. He's done a really, really nice job there with them. For fans who might not remember him, joined the team very late in that 2022 season, big part of that playoff run. But it's just been really fun to see a lot of these guys shining right now. And I like how you're bringing that up, the 2022 team. It usually takes a couple of years to really see those guys take that next step at the college level, because they might go back to school, might kind of have to work through a bit of a position battle, but then the year after, they're usually pretty ready to go.
Yeah, I got to throw in one more that now more coming off the 2022 team, but Stephen Meyer just the other day hit a walk-off home run against East Carolina, and I'm thinking, God, it's just sometimes that happens and all these guys start going off and you're thinking, man, maybe I wasn't such a great coach. Maybe I just had some really good talent in here, And so you start looking at some of these guys and they're having impressive springs. So it's great to see.
It's been really fun to watch. Well, Mitch, it's been really fun chatting as well. We'll chat some more. We've got plenty of other podcasts coming as we get closer to the start of the season. Going to reveal more and more players as we get ready. And we just know it's going to be a special summer here coming up. Thank you for the time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joel.
Please subscribe to our podcast if you do not already, and if you do enjoy listening to it, please give us a 5-star rating wherever you might be listening, whether Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or elsewhere. I'm Joel Norman. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Apple Sox Podcast.